Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, in the first half, I'll share some bad news out of Berkeley about laws and right turns. Also, some alarming news on plastics and recycling. We got blah, blah, blah coming as well, and we'll do that right after this.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, Steve Forbes. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of blah, blah, blah. And now, still wearing his I Don't Care That You Voted sticker, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice to get it on. Mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
He's a whore.
I was watching my entertainment news show last night.
You just say TMZ.
I did watch TMZ, but I also watched it. Entertainment Tonight.
Oh.
And all that stuff. And they were going over the Chris Evans, Sexiest Man Alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they do that interview. You know, they have to do the interview with the smoking hot rich guy where he has to explain what's attractive to him.
Sure.
And a woman. I hope you guys want to brace yourself against the console here. He was explaining it's what's on the inside.
Oh.
That's what he...
Swoon. That's refreshing.
What he does it for him. Wow. Now, and I was watching it, and I thought to myself, well, I don't want to completely poo-poo it from the guy who's dated Jessica Biel and... Emmy Rossum and Sandra Bullock and Minka Kelly.
They have some things in common.
beautiful
hearts.
But I was thinking you can have a good inside. You should want a good... Jessica Biel is just...
My God.
She's just a vision. And she probably has a good inside.
Indeed.
As
she
well.
Seems nice.
So what you have to announce is you have to go, for me, it's what's about... It's about the inside. It's about what's on the inside. But in order for me to discover what's on the inside, I have to want to fuck what's on the outside pretty bad.
Well said.
Then we'll learn about the inside.
From a small pool of beautiful on the outside women, I will then discover what's beautiful about your inside.
Yes. Yeah. We'll start with the inside of your vagina and we'll work our way in.
Yeah.
You
up.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't put it that way. Because they'll think you're asking for maybe more than you get on the first date.
Oh, right.
So, we will eventually get to the inside part.
Yeah.
It's just got to start with the outside.
And that's true for every human being on the planet.
I'd say.
So, feel free to say it because 8 billion people agree with you.
But you don't have to do the old adages, you know, you're hot, they're hot, we're all hot.
Yeah.
We like hotness. And again, the track record would show that the outside's equally as important.
Sure.
All right. There's some updates on a few things. Everyone voted yesterday. I did not get to vote for Rick Caruso for mayor.
Why?
Because I'm not in L.A. City.
Oh.
I had to look at the stupid thing two times to go, wait, where's the Karen Bass Rick Caruso thing? And I... kept looking at it, and I was like, did I screw the pooch? And I went over it, and I was like, the guy I want to vote for, I can't vote for.
Thought about that.
I didn't either.
I talked
to
Mark.
Who are your people? I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Gargos about it, and he said, "Yeah, that's we don't get that. He's in the neighborhood, but hopefully Rick will win. Although we need more days to figure it out. But again, just do election day, just do the voting day, just have it be the one day. States figure it out, places figure it out.
Can be done.
We can do it. We should do it. 2022. All right. So hopefully we'll get I know it's a weird way of, it's not a weird way of thinking. It's weird that more people don't think this way. You go, what would be, this guy built the Grove. I bet he could take care of some homeless encampments. Like, I bet that guy could just do it. Like, the Grove is marvelous. It's clean. It's safe. It's beautiful. Let that guy work on this shit. Let's just see what happens. So hopefully.
Like your wish.
We won't know for a couple days.
I think what'll happen is that little like blue tent village near my house that they, with like everyone gets their own like live-in storage locker. He'll just make those with balconies and make them really pretty. Maybe a fountain, a dancing fountain.
It would be anything but what we have would be nice. Now, I didn't weigh in on the props because I don't know. I've seen 7,000 fat Indians telling me about online gambling from every tribe, and I have no idea.
But pro and con.
What to do with that. I'm not voting because I don't know, and I don't want to punch something if I don't know.
Good.
I did vote on one prop, one prop only. Prop 28. Which
dialysis?
No, I didn't even know what that one was either.
Cotton candy vape pens?
That one is. I get what they're doing. It's the part. It's all just hysterics. Nicotine is like caffeine. It's not inherently bad for you. It's a stimulant. But if you're for Starbucks being on every corner, then you can be for nicotine. Now the. Smoke and the delivery part of the nicotine, the cigarette, that's what's bad for you. But the nicotine and the water vapor part isn't. But we got to take a hard stand. There's 3,000 different varieties of cotton candy spiked seltzer in every 7-Eleven, but we can't have the flavored nicotine.
Can I guess which one you voted on and what you voted?
Yes.
I bet you voted on increasing spending on arts programs in public schools, and you said no.
Fuck that. You want $1 billion to teach that kid to learn to play the oboe? Look, you want to give it to a fucking shop? I'm for you. Let's get some goddamn vocational training in there. We got a bunch of dumb kids who are horrible students. They're just being warehoused and pushed out in the street, and they don't have a thing. They do not have a tangible skill. In prison, we teach people skills because one day they're going to get out and we're going to have, teach them how to be an electrician. I'd be all about it if it was shop or vocational. It is not. It's about the arts. And I know, and there was a big campaign like 20, 25 years ago about this, like kids who are exposed to the arts. Kids that are exposed to the symphony a lot have rich parents who read to them and shit.
It's probably other factors.
If you would like to pick up an instrument, you may do so. I'm not for canceling the school ban. I'm just saying we don't have to force arts. It's one of these subjects that we love. Like, we're not so into teaching them super practical skills or any vocational training, but we're in love with the arts. Get the kids exposed to the arts. We all remember it. I was in Mr. Innocencio's class. We call him Mr. I. Played the trumpet for a semester at Walter Reed Elementary. Actually, somebody tweeted me to mash up my dad and a guy who may have missed the arts in his school, DJ Khaled, playing the guitar.
That would be quite a
This guitar-inspired songs that help unite the world, and we hope it gives you inspiration as well.
Thank you.
peppy.
Yeah, that's finger popping. Yeah, this guy should hit the road together. My dad, by the way, as of last time I saw him, was the $3,600 trumpet that I purchased. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was because the $1,900 trumpet was not good enough to grace his fingers. In the corner, in a case.
Oh, dusty.
The beat up one, the old one, is the one that sits in the trumpet stand.
You like that one?
Next to the Barca Lounger.
Am I wrong, or did the same thing happen with a car you leased him?
It did.
But there's a pattern here.
One has to wonder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One has to wonder, what is the end game? Like, for me, I've run into this a lot in life. You guys know what I'm talking about? Where people go, here's what I want, here's what I want, here's what I want. Then you go, here. And then they go, I don't want it anymore. Yeah. It's like, yes, luxury cars that he does not drive and luxury trumpets. Now, the trumpet, we got that $1,800, $1,900 one, but he needed the upgrade from that. But why not? Now, but I'll tell you here's the real key. The real key to the Corollas. Here's the key. It's not the part where he plays, the bugle that Gunga Din played in Lawrence of Arabia. The thing that's all tarnished and beat up and old. It's not that that's his weapon of choice when he's, diddling around sitting on his chair. It's that he doesn't pop out the one I got and replace the beat up tin horn with it when I'm coming over with 3 days notice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the thing you got to drill down on. That was the same with the car. My thing was, I didn't accuse him of never driving the car. I told him it would be nice, symbolically, that when he came to my house, he was driving the car. And he chose not to do it. Then he would go home and probably drive the car.
That's so the part. Fucked up.
It's weird, right?
It's beyond weird.
We've been in the situation where we've been gifted a sweater for Christmas by the mom-in-law. And wouldn't you know, that night at dinner, got to wear the sweater.
You got to showcase that thing.
It's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, at the very least, and I've taught my 7-year-old this, so I don't even have to tell him anymore. He just does it. I'm sure you got a really lovely handwritten thank you note.
No, but
with a picture of him playing the trumpet like my son would do.
Yes, mine, the $4,000 or $3,600 trumpet is in the case in the corner. Now, look, I'm not Chuck Mangione.
There you go. Famous trumpeteer.
Herb Alpert or the guy from Chase.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So Kenny get G. it on. But I would argue that if you wanted a new trumpet and then you wanted a better new trumpet, then you would want to play the new trumpet that was the better one.
Right.
Like, why? Pull me out of the equation. Why aren't you playing the better trumpet?
I think it's miserable familiarity. He's familiar with the one that's shitty and sucks because he's been playing. Exactly. But he wants to make sure that his son will still provide for him if asked. So they're kind of two separate issues.
Kind of flush issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the I want you to do this more than I need the new trumpet or even. Like anyone could discern whether the pitch of the new trumpet was any better than the old trumpet. It's really kind of on the trumpeteer.
Well, and think selfishly. Would he like to ask you for something in the future?
Oh, yeah.
Then you should just plan for that.
This is the part. This is why nobody in my family was good at business. This is sort of business. What we're talking about is business. Now, in this case, in the car case, my dad wanted another luxury car lease with insurance, full coverage, for 3 years. A business person would have made sure that happened if that's what they wanted.
Right.
The thing that's weird is when everyone in the family is infected equally and their horrible business acumen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. When I tell you guys the mom driveway story, has it been
the
weeks, months, years?
I could tell it.
She wanted a new driveway.
Yeah, so you got to pick out three different contractors.
Three estimates. Yeah. I'll pay the middle one.
That's right.
Never happened.
Still waiting.
No, because after 6 months, when I asked her for the estimate, she got angry, and she never got a driveway. That's my thing. When look, I'm sure I will resent my son one day, but that will be overridden by me wanting a free driveway.
Sure.
And a luxury automobile.
Right. Yeah.
That person that I'm lukewarm on can provide for me.
Yeah.
That's how I roll. That's a business head.
Yeah, I know people like this. I'm fairly close to people like this. And I don't mean to be, I don't know, flippant. And I'm not trying to be. I think we can just sincerely chalk this up to mental illness.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's not ever something you're going to be able to understand because it's a certain glitch in the wiring.
All right.
That's
all right.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that's not normal behavior.
No. But I pick up what you're putting down and...
Well, yeah. Look, I didn't have to do the luxury car, and I didn't have to do the driveway. So, I got off scot-free. I got to do a little burned on the trumpet.
Well, you did mention Chuck Mangione earlier, and your dad famously sat in with Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
forgot about that.
Nice
kind of a thank you.
Mm. Man, we need more of this smooth kind of listening in our lives. I can't tell the difference between the two. So my dad playing now? Oh, that's Chuck.
Yeah, that was Chuck.
Chuck.
Dad, Chuck.
I can't tell.
I think it's just Chuck double tracked.
Yeah. This Dawson, some of your greatest work.
It's you know, when you get to work with great talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes it easy.
Jim Carolla and Chuck Mangione.
This life does not even work.
All right.
Speaking of Herb, he has a jazz club on Beverly Glen.
Did not know that.
Oh, your buddy Seth MacFarlane was there, I think, on Monday.
Wait, Herb Alpert?
Herb Alpert, his daughter runs it, but he owns a jazz club restaurant. It's called Herb Alpert's Vibrato.
Vibrato. Yeah, but yeah. Stallone goes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, I saw Frank there.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Where is it? Because I saw Frank.
The top of the hill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, towards the top of the hill. Oh, you have been there.
Well.
They serve stiff drinks, so I can understand your hesitation.
How dare you? This was business. I met Seth MacFarlane there for lunch several years ago. And he's tucked away in the canyon. He's one of those, go up to this street, the one where the street's all the same name, but it has place and lane and drive, sure. Which makes it super confusing.
Where the streets have the same name.
Yeah, it's right up there, like with Hebrew Heights and the Donnas, sure. Donna Dolores, Donna Sangria, Donna Paquita. Like, you get confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's tucked up there. He said, why don't we just meet at this restaurant that's up the hill over here and whatever. And Seth is usually a little tardy, but he's only...
Works out sometimes.
He's only alive because he missed a flight because he was late. So it's hard to really scold him, you know.
He knows what he's doing.
He's got me this far.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there at the outside on a table or something and notice Frank Stallone sitting with... Literally a 97-year-old sports beat writer who did the boxing beat the Herald Examiner in the 40s or something.
Great.
That's Frank's haunt, man.
This just a Wednesday to them. He's just eating minestrone soup and talking to this old boxing guy. And that's his vibe. So then he spots me, and then I got to come over there and say hi to him. So I just hung out with him until... Seth showed up, but that's
make it a four top.
Yeah, did Frank have enough to say to fill the time?
I dug him out of his shell. Oh well, now it's the three of us talking about boxing.
Sure.
So look out,
happy
world.
As a clam. This menu, it ain't free.
No, it's expensive.
My God.
But you're also getting a show.
It's Italian, right?
American Italian.
Yeah, I mean sea bass and I don't know lobster,
all that stuff.
Oh, it's not Italian.
It's in the world's nicest strip mall.
Yes.
Remember that? Like, it's, it's a strip mall, but it's like, holy crap, this is really upper scale.
Yeah. So that's, oh, that's Herb's place.
Anyway,
and then
Seth
that's
was
where,
there on Monday, I believe, doing a set.
Crooning?
Really?
He was the headliner.
Well, it you know, it makes total sense because it's within striking distance of where he lives. So I could totally see him just going down the hill and belting out a few. And he's really good. All right, Dawson, you had an article on recycling plastic, which is, ugh.
Not a fan?
Oh, well, I'm just going to file it under everything everyone yelled at you to do for your entire life.
Yeah.
That ended up,
we all know to recycle.
I'm a fan of the idea.
File it under cloth masks.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Plastic recycling is a myth, study says. Plastic, which is made from fossil fuels, is notoriously difficult to recycle. A major reason. Though they can be broken down into broad categories, there are thousands of varieties of the material, each with its own chemical makeup. Most cannot be recycled together, so to be processed, they must be meticulously sorted. Then there's a bunch highlighted here, so we'll move forward. Corporations say they'll take on this massive environmental toll by increasing recycling rates, but things are moving in the wrong direction. Plastic recycling has actually declined by up to 4.5% since its peak in 2014, but plastic production has increased. Research has long shown that most recycling facilities do not accept 5 of the 7 classifications of plastic, including plastic foam and PVC, because they are particularly difficult to sort and are often contaminated with toxins. But the new a new report shows that even two common plastics have long been considered recyclable. PET number 1, which is used to make most soda bottles, and HDPE number 2, which is used to make plastic jugs, are only reprocessed 20.9% and 10% of the time, respectively.
All right. It's just one of those things to make us feel good, and we do it.
The promise far exceeds the grass.
It is. I'm interested in the modern psyche. Like, I was watching Dusty Baker, skipper for the Houston Astros, win the World Series, and he's wearing surgical gloves, you know. And then, and he wears a mask, cloth mask, periodically in outdoor stadiums. And then I'm like, why is he wearing surgical gloves? And they go, well, because he had a pre-existing, he had cancer 20 years ago. And it's like, but COVID is not spread through fomites, as Dr. Drew would say. You can't touch it. It's airborne. We know this. And I was talking to a guy who voted the other day, and he said the person at the voting place was like yelling at him, use the Purell, like use your, and it's like, we're living in a world where I'm going, but this doesn't exist. And people are going, just, yeah, but he's playing,
shut
it, he's playing it safe.
Yeah.
He's playing it safe. He had a heart attack 20 years ago. So now he's doing something. And my thing is, why don't you circle a fucking maypole before you go to the dugout? Because it's just as effective as the shit you're doing. And then you look it up. Like, I'm looking it up and I'm going, what is going on? The big problem is in the reporting. They go, why does Dusty Baker wear gloves? They go, well, because he had a situation, you know, 20 years ago, and that's why he wears gloves. He's worried about COVID. They don't put in the article, it doesn't do fucking shit for COVID. Right. Like, do some journalisming. Right. Put that in the fucking article. Because then the people who read it go, he had an issue, and so he doesn't want to get COVID.
Maybe I should do that.
Put the part in it where it doesn't stop right. you from getting COVID, right. you fucking charlatans. Jesus Christ. All this does is perpetuate all this fucking nonsense. And then everyone does this thing where it's, well, you know, you got to respect him. No, we don't. He's a crazy man. He's doing something that doesn't make sense. He could wear a fucking unicorn hat on his head. It wouldn't make a difference. That's the thing. Now, he's allowed to be eccentric, and he can do whatever he wants. But when you're writing the article, put the point in where there's no data that would support his craziness. And then it'll also get people to stop being so fucking crazy all the time. Jesus fucking yeah. Christ. But the recycling and everything, could we just – first off, I know. I yell about it a lot. It's the squeeze mayonnaise and the squeeze ketchup and the bottle, the plastic bottles and everything. Can we just get back to glass?
That's
everything in
exactly
glass is better.
Right.
Everything
sounds
is
great.
Better in glass. And not only is it better, like you go, well, I would rather drink a beer out of a glass bottle than a plastic bottle. But when you go to glass, what's in it is better too. You get higher quality mm-hmm. products. All that weird shit coming out of Battle Creek, Michigan, it's all just squeezy stuff. Knock it off, people. Get shit made out of glass.
So is it us stopping buying it to signal to the manufacturers nobody wants this shit? Is it policy? Knock it off. It's all parabens anyway. You have to go back to glass. Because that's the thing I've never understood about telling the little guy like us to recycle. I'm like, well, I'm not the one with thousands of factories putting this shit out into the population.
We have a bizarre relationship with this stuff, which is the last big unit apartment building I lived in Toluca Lake, this, I don't know, 30 units. I wanted to recycle. And I said, where's the recycling bin? I go, well, apartment buildings don't have those. They're not required to have those. And I'm like, you have 82 people living in a space that would be two single family lots. The footprint is 8 people, mm-hmm. but we have 82 people in here. You don't want to put a blue bin and a yellow bin out in the front of the thing?
We don't have to.
And they're like, nah, the city doesn't, they don't require that for apartment buildings. And I was like, so what do we do? And they're like, well, you just bag it up and you take it to the closest recycling center. And,
easy peasy.
In prestigious Sunland, California. And I would separate it, bag it up, and once a week I'd go to the closest whatever and drop it off. I didn't know they weren't doing anything with it, but do, in fact, you want people to participate in this? And if you do, then why not have separate bins? Chris, you can look it up. I mean, this is 25 years ago. L.A. County must have changed their mind on the big apartment building with the recycling
thing.
That's
interesting. The last time we were in an apartment was 2010, and I don't think they had a separate recycling for us. It was just the big dumpster.
All right, so why are you beating the shit out of everyone to recycle when you have all these families living on top of each other and no bin to recycle? And it's, easiest thing in the world to do, just drop off a few bins.
Here's what I'm seeing here. This is lacitysan.org, I assume sanitation. Is recycling mandatory in Los Angeles? Businesses or public entities that are subscribing to waste collection services or multifamily residential property of 5 or more units are required to have a recycling program.
Oh, so they changed it.
Stepped it up in the past few years.
All right. Well, speaking of bad policy, somebody tweeted me this, and I had somebody talk to me in San Diego about this. And it's been a little while, but please drive through the red turn arrows. Please reclaim your life back.
Sure.
Signal green, red arrow red. Just go. Look for a cop behind you and go. Nobody will do it. The great thing is once I get the guys on it, the wives start freaking out. It's an interesting glimpse into the psyche of the human. There is multiple intersections. I don't know what the ratio is for the red arrowed intersections versus non arrowed intersections, but it's got to be 5 or 9 to 1 for me. I see the red arrowed ones, but most of the intersections have a light and you turn. That's all you're doing is engaging in the behavior that you engaged in multiple times with the same person in the car who's now screaming bloody murder. And the only way you can get a ticket is if there's a cop parked behind you. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Sometimes if they're coming toward you, been doing it for 24 years, I have never gotten a ticket. So I'm just going to do it based on been pulled over for many different things. Mm-hmm. Now, since I started going through red turn arrows, I've been pulled over for speeding 65 times because they catch you because they know what you're doing.
That's
no one goes
for.
Through the arrows. So please free yourself up. But now, Berkeley, the city of Berkeley is going to really up their game.
Oh, no.
Berkeley moves toward banning all right turns on red lights.
No.
Why?
It's pedestrian. Everything is under the umbrella of said. But why does Dusty Baker wear a surgical outfit on a fucking outdoor diamond? Why? He's playing it safe, Gina.
Okay.
I don't want to move to a city where the only cultural advantage is being able to make a right turn on a red light, Alvy Singer famously said about moving from New York to California. That incentive may no longer be true of Berkeley after the first steps in a proposal to ban right turns on red lights citywide was approved last week. Quote, from the way we design our roads to the rules we set for them, cars are given priority in the public right-of-way at the express detriment to pedestrians and cyclists.
All right, but here's the thing, everybody. First things first. Half the dumb shits in Los Angeles don't know you can turn right True. On a red, mm-hmm. and that's why I honk through people. Secondly, when I get down Temescal or Sunset or something onto PCH, that fucking line at 5:30 in the afternoon, it backs all the way up the hill because the lead dunce won't turn right, even though they have their own lane. They have their own lane True. To merge. They will not. They won't do it. We need the opposite of this. We need a campaign to get people to do this. Now, look, and here's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is they go, what about pedestrians? Well, you have to come to a complete stop.
Yes, you do.
And then you have to look to see if
ways.
There's pedestrians.
You use your eyes.
And then you turn. Because what this will happen is they'll make this rule, and then you'll have some fuck sticks at 4 a.m. on a Sunday, and they'll just be parked there, and there'll be zero pedestrians anywhere. And I wonder, some of this got to be homeless related because there's so many nut jobs.
Those are the pedestrians
running kind of unevenly on the street.
That's the foot traffic.
Right. So the plan is let's punish the taxpayers, but we need a concerted effort to get people moving and not more laws that stifle our progress. Sorry. Is there more there?
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Someone just tweeted me because they knew it was going to piss me off.
I mean, in Manhattan, you can't, but it's because that's a walking city. I think we can all agree. I don't know enough about the rest of the country, but I think we're pretty much covered with Manhattan.
The rule should be for almost everything. If you're not doing something unsafe, then you may proceed.
The city of Berkeley, though, is a budget proposal. Proposes $135,000 to install
a toilet seat.
135 intersections worth. So 4 no turn on red signs at each of the 135 intersections. So $1,000
for each
intersection.
Wow. Well, these are people just
expensive sign.
We're going to pay $1.5 million for a bathroom 10 minutes ago. So I think the taxpayer's getting a break there.
Honey of a deal.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Whenever I go into a bathroom, a single stall bathroom, like at a party or something, I always, and somebody blew it out, I always leave the toilet seat up when I leave, so at least there's a little bit of plausible deniability for the next person to come in. It's like, oh, that guy just wouldn't take a piss. That wasn't him. Love the show, guys.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, but then what happens when Dawson comes in and has to take a piss and he has to lower the toilet seat
sure.
down? You're not thinking of others.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. All right, we got the intro to Blah Blah Blog.
It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
Well, this is a very special Elon Musk-themed round of Blah Blah Blog. Here we go. Taking a break. I decided I needed a Twitter break since the new ownership and the misinformation and hate it seems to be encouraging has my stomach in a knot. I really do enjoy connecting with all of you on social media, but it can get overwhelming sometimes. I think I'll be back on in a few weeks, but in the meantime, I will continue to post on Facebook and Instagram. I hope all of you will be kind to one another. Please vote if you can, too. our democracy seems to be hanging on by a thread.
How'd they get that many characters?
Yeah.
Okay, these are not always tweets, guys. Just a heads up. We on Facebook, Instagram.
Well, you said an Elon episode, so yeah. I thought maybe these were tweets.
Is it Mick Foley?
Wait, how did democracy die the other night, or we're okay?
I think it still has a heartbeat.
We still have a heartbeat?
Died for some, not for others.
All right.
Is it Mick Foley?
Mick Foley.
Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe. I hate her.
Or Susan Sarandon.
Ooh. Mm. I hate Megan Rapinoe because she's accomplished a lot and got a lot and never stops fucking bad-mouthing this country, and I hate ingrates. Mick, I love. What's he? Last time he was in here, he's in here with a big-titted porn star.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I recall.
Who's Mick Foley?
Professional wrestler.
Mankind.
Accountant to the stars. Look at his picture.
I thought he was on Duck Dynasty. I don't know.
You got to laugh at that joke if you saw the picture of Mick Foley. Yeah. You're right. He had four names. Cactus Jack and like, God.
Mankind.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
Right. Got it.
That just doesn't feel like Mick Foley.
It would be weird.
But why then? Why? This is very Megan Rapinoe and could be Susan Sarandon. And then I bite on the stupid Mick Foley bait because I want to know why he's there.
Yeah.
There must be a reason. I get burned a lot. I'm going with Occam's razor, which is what she uses to cut her hair. Yeah.
Megan.
I'm going to write this shit down, yo.
That's good.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yes, 100% Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, really? I'm going to go with Susan Sarandon. It felt a little more gentle to me.
Mm, the blog belongs to Accountant to the Stars, Mick Foley.
My God.
That's insane. Someone ought to hit him with a folding chair.
He said, be kind to one another like Ellen DeGeneres does.
He is a sweetheart of a guy.
Okay.
I will say that.
Elon, please, for the love of decency, get off Twitter, hand the keys over to someone who does this as an actual job, and get on with running Tesla and SpaceX. You are destroying your credibility. It's just not a good look. I'll tell you, it's not Bald Brian.
I was going to say, I agree with a lot of that.
Is it Sarah Silverman, Mark Ruffalo, or Seth MacFarlane?
Oh. Now this, you know, could be Seth. This could be any of the three.
I don't think it's Sarah. Sarah didn't. There was not anything that hinted at a joke. That's not her style. I think I'm eliminating her.
Yeah, she can get pretty serious about social issues.
That's a great picture. Look at those boobs.
But she looks good in the picture. Yeah. Ruffalo for sure. This could all be Ruffalo. Seth. Funny, we're just talking about him.
We are.
All right, Brian, you go first.
I feel like if it was the two slightly more liberal people up there, Ruffalo or Silverman, it would be a lot of they hate Elon or Elon sucks or this guy's a moron or whatever, whereas it's more like, hey, man, let someone handle this who knows what they're doing and get back to what you do best. So I'm going to go Seth MacFarlane.
I totally agree. I think if it was Ruffalo, it would be like, play with your little spaceships and your little toy car. Yeah, I totally agree. So I'm going Seth as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm convinced I'm going Seth MacFarlane as well.
The blog belongs to Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, wow. Damn it. Brian.
I thought you'd do that just to split off.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah.
I have deactivated my Twitter account today for a long time, but especially with its new leadership, it's becoming more and more of a cesspool of hate and bigotry, and it's not a place I want to be a part of.
Call me naive. People just tweet me stuff, mostly stories that are going to anger me, and then I tell them thanks.
Because you're not doing what they call doom scrolling. You just scroll through your thread all day and look at the vicious stuff that people are retweeting and make yourself mad.
What's in it for everybody?
I don't know.
Is that why do people
do what they do?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't one get a free driveway or a luxury automobile?
Mental illness.
Play your $4,000 horn. I don't know. I have this weird relationship with Twitter, which is I go on and somebody says, hey, why don't you mash up DJ Khaled and your dad? And I go, oh, that's a good idea. And then I write it down. And then, you know, once in a while someone talks a little shit. But seems a lot of the time they're sort of confused or I just like, you know, they go, oh, your boy Jimmy. The good news is according to Twitter, I'm now the funny guy from The Man Show.
Nice.
Oh. Well, I used to be the loser from The Man Show. So I just got funnier.
Oh, good.
But just like look at it and scroll to something that's interesting and someone shoots me a graph or a chart or like, hey, read this article. And I look at it. Why is everyone – is that – what do you have to do?
I think you have to be tapping on a lot of topics, a lot of trending topics. Uh-huh. Like if, you know, Mitch McConnell is trending, it's not going to be a polite discussion.
All right. But all right. And what percentage of people do you think get into it?
Well –
a high percentage?
Majority.
High percentage?
I mean, if you're on...
Am I the only one in this building who just looks at it sort of recreationally and highlights stuff that I think would be funny for the show or like be good?
Literally the whole segment I do when I go in there.
Trending topic.
Yeah, I think we're all looking at it recreationally.
Well, I look at it as a tool. Like I look at a lot of like fantasy football stuff or movie stuff or, you know, stuff that's interesting to me.
But who's looking at the stuff that gets them agitated?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying
like doom scrolling. That's what it is.
Yeah, like I'm sure people, you know, I'm sure Ted Nugent is talking shit about, you know, Janine Garofalo, and then Janine Garofalo's clapping back at Ted Nugent, but I don't see any of that.
Mm.
I'm not interested in entering that fray.
Yeah, I think you have to be clicking on the for you or the trending
algorithm-y. Above our pay grade and many of the people who got fired.
There should be less of that.
I agree. Yeah. That's a good idea.
So we'll start this one over.
Sorry.
I have deactivated my Twitter account today for a long time, but especially with its new leadership, it's becoming more and more of a cesspool of hate and bigotry, and it's not a place I want to be a part of. Only sorry to the fans who I've loved connecting with for a decade via Twitter, but I can't say it's a safe place for anyone, nor a social platform that will do more good than harm. Is it Sarah Bareilles, Gigi Hadid, or Alex Winter?
Wow.
They
have all left Twitter.
Oh, my.
Really? But my point is can't you just keep interacting with your fans on Twitter and not get into the mire? That's my point. If you want to keep interacting with your fans.
You can stick to that.
Well, perhaps some of the fans have become emboldened
That's
to not
true.
Be fans.
If you're a little spoken out in one area, maybe your fans aren't quite so supportive.
Mm.
I don't know any of these to be outspoken.
Yeah, I would be surprised if I knew any of their politics. Although, I mean, I assume if, you know, you have to sort of navigate Hollywood or New York, you got to be a little left-leaning, but All right. Yeah.
I know that Alex, who's been on the show, I know he does docs, and he has, I think, some thoughts about some things.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Alex Winter.
Well, he does fall under my, what's Mick Foley doing up there?
Yeah, I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Are these all newcomers to this game? Usually there's one or two.
I think so.
Is that Gigi? Are there any, who are the right-leaning guys who are getting off of Twitter because of the hate? Are there do those guys exist?
No.
I think they're stretching out.
This is
I think they're manspreading.
Oh, they like the hate. Oh, they're hate guys.
They're surfing their red wave.
So like John Voight is not canceled Twitter because he likes the hate part. Oh, because he's a racist.
I see.
Okay. Now it all makes sense. What there, Sarah Bareilles?
She's in here.
I know. But what's she
Sarah
doing?
Bareilles.
What is she doing on there?
That had to be a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
She's great.
That.
I think David Weiler came over there.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, she's great. She sung. It was because I saw her at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction doing Stony Road, which was what's her name, the famous New Yorker singer songwriter who died of like ovarian cancer like way too soon. And
Laura Nyro?
Yeah, Nyro.
Stony End.
Stony End. You would know five Lauren Nero songs.
Wow, and they I'm would be that I don't.
And I think she's from the tribe too. Mm-hmm. Or if she's Jesus. Not, she certainly had that vibe. But we'll find that performance soon enough, Chris. All right. Is it Bella or Gigi Hadid?
That's Gigi.
Mm.
I don't know where to go with this.
I don't know where to go either. I'm going Winter.
I'll go Sarah Bareilles because I'm a fan. Ginny, who'd you guess?
Alex Winter.
Oh.
No one's on the board yet.
Oh, shit.
The blog belongs to Gigi Hadid.
Oh, wow. Man.
This does not go in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
This episode.
Mm-mm.
I'm shocked and appalled at some of the free speech I've seen on this platform since its acquisition. Hate speech under the veil of free speech is unacceptable. Therefore, I am choosing to stay off Twitter, as it is no longer a safe space for myself, my sons, and other POC.
Oh, okay.
Is it Shonda Rhimes?
What's a POC?
Person of color.
Oh, I thought piece of shit. I was not doing the math.
It's your spelling. That's good.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, like if Ozzy called someone a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Is it Shonda Rhimes, Toni Braxton, or Jennifer Hudson?
Oh, boy.
Mm.
I mean, I hesitate any of us to go with our gut because we're just always wrong.
Lauren Nero, I don't know Blowing Away. I don't know if that's a hit of hers. But Wedding Bell Blues, Fifth Dimension.
I have to hear it.
Oh, you'd know that one in a heartbeat. Stone Soul Picnic, another Fifth Dimension song.
Yeah. I thought Fifth Dimension only did songs from Hair.
No. They're Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. They were Fifth Dimension was big. They did up and away with my beautiful balloon.
I didn't know that.
She did. Let's see. Oh, And When I Die. Oh, she did Eli's Coming. Come on, guys. You know all of these
songs. These are titles I know.
So you will know Eli's Coming in a second. Stony Ann, Up on the Roof.
I thought that was Carole King.
See, I think Lauren Nero gets folded into like Carole King, but she wrote.
Oh, sorry. Her best-selling single is her recording of.
Oh, then Gina's right.
Thank you.
She wrote tons of hits and died young.
Age 49.
I've never heard of her. She looks like somebody I would have heard of.
Well, fine.
I only have a live version.
Which one?
Fifth Dimension of Eli's Coming.
Oh, well, that's a Three Dog Night song.
Yeah.
You'll know in a second. Well, you can find the Three Dog Night version. All right. Who is this?
All right.
What happened?
Which person of color is out on
Somebody's
Twitter?
Angry.
Jennifer Hudson, Toni Braxton, or Shonda Rhimes?
Feels like, you know, could be Shonda Rhimes, super blowhardy. But on the other hand, Braxton, what is she up there for? I got nothing. This is a tough.
Yeah.
Chris, you did too good a job here.
Good job, Lynch.
I know. That's telling the guys I feel like I won this game.
Lynch did a great job.
How dare you?
I'm going with Braxton.
I think, okay, my only hunch, and this goes nowhere, is Braxton's too old to have kids that she wants off Twitter. Mm. So I'm going to go, I don't fucking know. Who are you going with?
Well,
I'll go the opposite.
I have eliminated Jennifer Hudson, which means it's Jennifer Hudson. So
okay, Hudson
well, I'm gonna do the one thing none of us have done so far. I'm going to go against my gut and say Jennifer Hudson.
Okay, Rhimes.
So you're Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes.
There are points on the board.
Finally. Mm.
The blog belongs to Toni Braxton.
I knew it!
My airtight logic.
Let's just move along. This game sucks.
This is our last one.
Oh, there's more.
Welcome, Elon, you little bitch, you. And Twitter out. Then 5 days later, after Elon tweets about activists pressuring advertisers and destroying free speech, this person came back to reply. Just popped back on because I couldn't let this one slide. No, Elon, it is you that is manipulating free speech because as the quintessential narcissist, you fetishize that the entire universe must think your way. I'll be back soon. Because your 5 minutes are ticking away. Hmm. Is it Ron Perlman?
Jesus.
Bette Midler, Or Josh Gad.
Oh, wow. Three Hall of Famers.
They're all strangely aggressive blowhards, which is weird, like aggressively blowhardy and blustery and douchey.
Gad's got a little curl in him.
Yeah. It kind of looks like, yeah. My dad looked a little that way when he was 30. Man, this could be any of these people. I'm going Pearlman.
Oh, damn. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I'm playing from behind, so fuck. I don't know. Josh Gad.
There is literally no way Bette Midler called anyone a little bitch, but why not? I'll take it.
For the win, the blog belongs to Ron Pearlman.
Hey. Yeah. Hey.
That was my first guess.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
Well, now you got to find Wedding Bell Blues or Eli's Coming, Three Dog Night.
Eli's Coming.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Adam.
Song kicks.
He can hit those notes too.
You can do this.
Eli's a coming and the cards say a broken heart. Eli's coming, heart, your heart, girl. Eli's coming.
Classic rock song. Didn't play this on the classic rock station,
please,
huh?
If this wasn't Joy to the World, it didn't get played.
No, I've never heard this.
Never heard never Eli's it. Coming?
No.
Woo! Chris, you ever heard Eli's Coming?
No.
Wow. Dawson, you should have heard this one. Well, now we got to listen a little more.
My former bass player now plays bass in this band.
Three Dog Night?
Because his dad is Danny Hutton.
Wow.
Not much in the way of lyrics, though.
Nah.
True.
But you can guess the song. It's not that stupid Led Zeppelin shit. All right, son. Am I the only person in this building who knows Eli's Coming?
Seems that way.
I don't have a Three Dog Night record. I've never owned a Three Dog Night record. It got spins. But it got spins on the classic, or maybe the oldies.
No,
maybe it was a care thing.
I'm surprised because it has a lot going on. This should have been more of a hit for the rest of us.
Three Dog Night could boogie. Number 10 on the Billboard chart. There you go.
Wow.
If I was covering songs, I would do songs like that because 7/8 of the room would think it was an original.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Wedding Bell Blues, that one you got. That one Gina's going to know by the fifth dimension. You're going to know this one.
Okay.
Eyes of me. How but am I ever gonna see my wedding day? I was on
you know this one, right?
Yeah, I feel like this was in a movie soundtrack.
Ryan?
Yeah, familiar.
Chris?
Never.
No, never.
Hit a hook.
No, they don't have oldies stations anymore, I guess.
Well, the oldies aren't the oldies you're thinking of.
That's true. They're playing Billy Idol.
Yeah.
It's fucking sad. You two. It's how I feel old. Dawson?
Never heard this. I used to program an oldies station, too.
this is, we've all heard this whether we
is
know it or
not. But I'm always worried about insulting people subtly when they go, I've never heard of Zima. I go, you passed 1,000 billboards. I go, never seen it. Never seen it. Never seen it. I go, you've passed 1,000 billboards. You didn't like it, or it didn't connect with you, but you can't go through your adult life and not know this one, Dawson.
I'm with Gina. I feel like this is a movie or something.
There had to be something where Sandra Bullock found love with a younger man.
Isn't the Questlove documentary? Because the Fifth Dimension were in that.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, and then Summer of Soul.
Oh, Summer of Soul. Yeah, oh, that Questlove one. Do you, what other Lauren era? God, I gotta have a few more in there. Blowing Away, I Don't Know. Wedding Bell Blues, well, that one we got. Stone Soul Picnic. That's another Fifth Dimension song. Save the Country, I Don't Know. And When I Die, that's Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Oh, I probably know it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's from the first BST record.
That one you know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That made famous. She wrote songs for rock and dude groups, which is, and the Fifth Dimension, and Stony End. If you can find Sarah Bareilles, am I saying
Bareilles.
Bareilles? Yeah.
I think it's Bareilles.
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 Bareilles. Yeah, her at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction doing Stony End was magical. Mm-hmm. And I have to picture DJ Khaled going out there and sitting down at the piano.
Pointing.
What would happen? Tell me how good this sounds. Know this one, Gina?
No. I love it.
I can still remember him with the light in his eyes. But the light flickered out and parted as the sun.
So when guys are really good, women are good musicians, you can put them all together and good stuff comes
out. Indeed.
I just love when people master their craft. That's what you get when you watch those Rock and Roll Hall of Fame things. And then there's my dad and DJ Khaled.
Yeah, sure.
Who, don't get me wrong, I'm with my dad and DJ Khaled. I wish I was up on stage strumming away on something.
Be fun.
Except for I don't have ability, right. So I don't want to waste the audience's time.
Right.
But Yoko Ono's not really factored that part into her art.
It doesn't weigh on her.
Yeah.
She's not encumbered by that feeling.
Her monitor's not on.
Steve Forbes, a name you've heard many times, is waiting in the wings. We'll talk to him all about the economy and politics and everything else right after this.